You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Kicks in with the music, takes a little bit, but
Well, there'll be a bump. There'll be a bumper in about 10 seconds. So.
Okay. Yep. Cool. I'll just wait for it.
No, I'm not joking.
Okay. Of course, but there will be now. You know. So my name's Beebe. I'm here with Critical Sinker. You're listening to the audio chat. Today is the 21st of the 10th, 2021.
Where you are?
Where I am, of course. So it's got almost forgotten the day. It's a Thursday, 5:38 a.m. As I said, my name's
Phil. You are,
pardon?
No, go for it.
My name is also Phil Johnson. I live in Melbourne, Australia. I'm here with Critical Sinker, who's also from Melbourne, Australia, but hails from a different part of the realm now. So, what say you, Critical?
Yep, in rainy England at the moment.
Is it like that misty rain?
It's proper rain now. We've had
yellow
rain warning, whatever that means.
A yellow rain warning.
Yeah, I think it's like amber and green and red, all that sort of shit. COVID zone.
I guess the analog here would be like the fire day warnings or whatever.
Sure.
Which we've talked about fires, which are my pet peeve, because I'm a city boy and
Right on cue.
This is Without a Trace.
Rochello.
Quillu.
Tenreal.
Zulo.
Merbless.
SMG.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, so what do you call it? Yeah, fire's my pet peeve, and you know, you've got the low fire day, the high fire day. What do you call it? What do they say? Fat pope, skinny pope. I've heard Italian people say that.
Right.
It's all the same.
It's another way to keep people on edge as well, isn't it? Keep you in that constant state of alert. They love playing off that sort of fear and emotion.
I don't even know how to broach it with people as well. It's just like, yeah.
I remember the last bushfires in and around Melbourne, or, you know, most of Australia really, along the East Coast. It would have been about a year ago, I suppose. But I remember at the time, and then, you know, hearing more the perspective of farmers and people that would normally do backburning throughout the year and particular seasons, and how over the last sort of decade or so that's been, frowned upon, and, you know, there's been sort of, you know, local laws put in place where you can't burn in the off season, and you just end up full of dry fuel really at the end of the day.
Actually,
and then I remember that there's some indigenous groups that were, you know, pointing it out as well and almost laughing at the way we do things now. They've known for a long time how to manage that land, and then to watch us just make such a stupid obvious mistake and for that to happen.
I really don't get the whole the environmental side of things where they say like, yeah, you can't just like cut down some trees and utilize native trees as firewood and also prevent the fuel build up. It's a real conundrum
They're missing the whole point of the cycle of life, aren't they? It's this carbon based sort of idea. The things rejuvenate, you know, things degrade back into the earth and then replenish, and then all the little microorganisms in the soil use it and reproduce and give us new life. When they start trying to play God in those situations, you fuck up the whole circle of life.
I think the end of my, I did environmental science. Well, actually did. I did a Bachelor of Science and I majored in environmental, and one of the last things I did was like a study on And it was actually probably the highlight of my university time to really see how like statistics work and stuff. But we did it on like we were doing like what do you call it, like plant analysis. You kind of look at sites and see the diversity of plants, the way they're growing, what kind of plants they are. But I could see the end game, which was that the one of the sites that we looked at was backburned regularly, and one of the sites wasn't.
Right.
And yeah, the site that wasn't had more variety of plants, or like, you know, I guess so. But both sites were actually like different. One of the sites was in a different place, even though it was a different part of the Otways, if you know where the Otways are, like Lawn.
Yeah, beautiful. Road. Yep.
Mm. And I just remember thinking, it was like, these two places that we're like taking records at are just so different. And just to chalk it up to this place is regularly backburned, this one isn't. Look at the difference. I just thought it was incredibly short-sighted, I guess you could say, because... and especially around there, like the further inland you go, the more rainforesty it kind of becomes. And there's like a sharp incline in altitude. So I remember just thinking like, man, like I'm a gardener, right? And the way that these people view plants is it's underwhelming to some extent. And I was just like, man, like they all have like this native tree bias. It just sucks, you know. There's nothing wrong with a good oak tree, just get over it, you know. you know, like they're just like so obsessed with native plants. I just want to kick their face in.
I'm sure there's a degree of sense to some of it, and then you know, in some scenarios there's not. You know, it's always open book to me, really. It can be a bit of both at the same time.
Sure, yeah, I've got no problem with like the fact that there's more plants in the area that hasn't been backburned and that kind of thing. Like that's, you know, a reasonable assessment on some level, but it's just not taken in the big picture. It's just like, ugh.
Yeah, it's also a the misunderstanding of weeds sometimes, all that sort of off-season overgrowth of things. Like that's such a big part of the rejuvenation process. Mm. And even like you'll see a bunch of weeds breaking.
You there? I think we lost critical for a second. That was the I can speak to what you're saying. Like
load of concrete. Oh, did I drop off there?
Yeah, just for about 10 seconds.
Right, well,
I'll wait. Sounded like you're really in the train of thought as well when you come back in. Of course.
Well, just weeds in general, and how like even berries can break through concrete, grow off the side of the road, and things like that, and how useful things like herbs and berries and certain flowers can be. And they often grow in the most what we would consider the not so natural environment, like concrete. So it's amazing, you know. I think a lot of those things are overlooked as well when it comes to a lot of that.
Yeah, like when I was doing weed removal as my job at the start of 2021, and I came across this tree, and there was just like a blackberry growing in the tree. I was just like, that's awesome.
A lot of berries, herbs, fungi, algae, these are quite powerful things, even for medicinal purposes. I'd say they almost do a great job at learning from the toxification, and then producing something that will help us in the long run fight certain things off, in our bodies. So it's interesting that things like fungi and berries and herbs will grow in the most, outrageous ways.
Yeah. I have heard that dandelions, like they only really grow where people are. They just kind of hang around us, you know. Like, and of course you see the dandelions are growing the cracks, of some asphalt or something. It's just like ridiculous, you know.
Exactly.
But, you can eat.
Well, I had exactly. Mm. And I had a guy that I've been doing a bit of training with, and he does a lot of foraging and things like this. And I was showing him that, this was almost like a bit of a fungal infection on the bottom of my feet, almost like a wart kind of thing. And I've been trying sodium bicarbonate, apple cider vinegar. Lots of things like, little, foot baths with magnesium flakes, the works, trying to get it to sort of heal itself. And he straight away mentioned dandelion to just break the stalks of dandelion and rub the juice on. He reckons that was the way to go about it. But, it was a time of year where, I couldn't find any dandelions around, of course.
Time milk. Oh, some milk.
fix you up.
There's a little one here.
Yeah, Felix, you want to say hi? Say hi. Say hi.
Hey, little dude. That's talking to the computer screen again.
Yeah, why am I saying hi? I'm speaking to someone on the computer. That's a bit weird, but I'm definitely doing it. I'll just be a minute, man.
Sure, no problem. Of course.
All right, back in a second. Hey, mate, sorry about that.
No problem.
Yeah, I just got all the kids at once, so that was pretty exciting.
Are you on your own?
Yeah, no, I am, but my beautiful wife's just gotten up.
Okay.
She's laughing at me now.
Tag team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, oh, she's forgotten about me, but she hasn't. She's beautiful. All right, well, might as well duck
into it. Where were
we? We were at environmentalism and just the gigantic conundrum that these people are under, where they end up going into work, which is just to kill plants, essentially. Just spray poison and salt the earth to some extent, which
it's I think a big part of the whole environmental green thing is it's from top down. It's almost an attempt to play God, and
for
it's
sure.
And it's kind of self-revealing of the arrogance and ignorance involved with it.
Yeah, like they don't I say this a lot as well, but it's like they don't have like a solid footing. It's just such a, they kind of base their mentality on like a natural law, and it just really has no bounds. And what you're saying with the playing God thing, it's like they just don't understand that it's like, you know, less is more. You don't always have to intervene. Like when people intervene on that kind of thing, it's disruptive and causes other problems. Say like, you know, you spray an area with Roundup, and you get this like new problem come up from, you know, the area that you sprayed, like a new problem weed, and you just have to come back and do it again. But you know, they have all these high and mighty opinions about the natural landscape, and more or less they're happy to spray poison when it suits their cause. But of course, like, you know, for a farmer, it's wrong to spray the land, kind of thing, you know what I mean? Like, so
yes.
They're just totally conflicted. And I mean, me personally, I don't like really chemical use at all, but I can see its use in some context, but yeah, like just to spray poison like as a be all to end all, it's just the end game for that.
Sure. They wanna mask you like a criminal. Ask you just like Hannibal. Immune resistance is flawed.
They want to play like they're God. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com. You can have my vaccination.
You can have the change that
there was a reference to playing God in that.
Yeah. It's like, what do you call it? Topical.
Synchronicities.
Yeah. It happens no matter what, you know. Like. But yeah, I mean, we may as well get into like what we were going to do. What do you reckon?
Yeah, sure. I was going to say, I might start it off with an email I received this week from my dear mother. And after months of anguish, sleepless nights, headaches, palpitations 2 to 3 times a week, very low moods, tears, praying, and researching, I'm finally at peace with the decision I made today. The effects of this COVID virus are very real. It can affect young, old, healthy, and not so healthy. I do not read newspapers or listen to radio or watch TV news. I have had conversations with people who know personally people who have caught COVID or have worked in ICU looking after seriously ill patients. Some of their stories are so sad. 97 97% of them are unvaccinated. These incredible nurses have been in tears telling their stories and how heartbreaking it is to watch a family say their last goodbyes via an iPad. I do not want this for me or my family. I know there are some risks with the vaccinations, but there is a far greater risk for catching this infection. Once our lockdown has ended and restrictions are lifted. At our stage of life, I cannot live with that fear because that will affect my health more than anything. I've got advice from my holistic doctor, my heart doctor, my dear local doctor, and our family doctor, all who I respect. They have all advised me to have the vaccination. Dad is in the process of doing the same. His doctor and his specialist have advised him to go ahead. He is just waiting to hear from his heart specialist. This morning, I had my first AstraZeneca vaccine. I truly hope you respect my decision as I respect any decision you make. I love my family more than my life and would never want to do anything to upset them. All I ask in return is for your understanding, love, and support. So that comes after 18 months of conversations I've been having with my parents where they've held out this long without getting it. And, yeah, they've listened to everything I've had to say. They've agreed with most of it along the way. They have also been trying to advise others not to take the vaccine or not to get into this. And something has happened recently in Australia, particularly Melbourne, that has really, really, really triggered some people to turn that page and jump over to the other side, man. It's very crazy.
Yeah, I wouldn't chalk it up to the mandates, but they've kind of come in at the same time. Like there is something there.
No, for sure. I just thought I'd share that because it's it really shows what, you know, you're up against sometimes. It's like I've been convinced this whole time that, you know, I've had my parents on board and I felt very proud about that for myself and for them and everything. And then for that to happen was quite a shock, man. And I haven't spoken to them since either. So they're probably feeling a bit, weirded out by that. But I'm a bit speechless from it. So
yeah, I mean, that was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Your mum involved in the hospitals and that? It's I'm not sure if I caught that right, the ICU and all that.
No, it's just I think there's a nurse in the family that has been dribbling shit to her over the phone.
I really wonder with that stuff, like, are they just are they just seeing something, like, are people in the medical industry just seeing something that's not there, or are they just, deducing something else to it, you know?
Well, it's religious kind of behavior in a sense, I suppose. It's like more cultish, I would say, than religious. It's very much, it's a cemented belief system, I think, that it blinds them from seeing anything else.
Yeah.
And my mum's quite a Christian Catholic woman, always has been, and a fantastic person as well. So, I kind of feel like in response to that if you were to walk into a church and question God's existence, they would tell you that you're mad. Of course, God is real. And, so for her to then speak to nurses or a doctor whether this virus is real or not, you know what response you're going to get. So I'm surprised she's even drifted. I feel that in a sense I would almost say she's turning her back on her faith that she's had her whole life to take on this new religious belief. Yeah, it's crazy.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. I've seen it happen in my parents. They're definitely on board with the religion of COVID now. You know, it's just like I was speaking to my dad the other day, and I mentioned the whole thing about adding a few more years and to sacrifice the living standards of our youngest generation, and he just immediately went to the "I don't agree with that" kind of thing. And it's hitting at home. People love their life. I like my life. It's great. Yesterday I was at the park, enjoying the sunshine with my children. Like, there's a lot of things in life to be happy about. But
100%. And if you lose grip of any of that, then you're on a downward spiral.
Yeah. But it's like, I hope when I'm older, I don't fall into that trap. But it's like, in terms of me adding on a few more years, and to change society around that, hopefully I can see the bigger picture with that, I am speaking it's not metaphorically, it's in a bird's eye view kind of sense. So I guess it's hard for people to think long-term in that regard,
Yeah, I'd say, again, it would depend on how much you allow fear to govern your perspectives as well. It's
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, you know, I heard someone say something the other day, and it was like, you know, if you have courage, you know, there's no absence of fear. It's just like, you know it, and you're willing to, like, shake at the knees as, like, you approach it. But you've still got that courage there. You know, it's a bit without context that I'm talking. But,
It's like if you've got, so with using the example of courage, it's that almost, lends itself to not requiring to pay fear any attention. So therefore it ceases to exist. So it's not necessarily an opposite or an either or. It's it's the one trumps the other. So therefore the other ceases to exist.
Yeah. And speaking to what you're saying as well, like, there's a YouTuber called, Pockets of the Future. And when, I don't know, I don't really agree with him all the time, but when this first came out, he said that, like, this is the death nail in the coffin for religion. And, like, I mean, it's like, I can't really, like, disagree with him when I see what's going on with people. Like, they will take the material over their spiritual big time. There is, like, shimmers of hope. Like, I mean, my local priest up here has, like, just given me a whole bunch of work. Kind of landscaping work and stuff, and he understands, like, the position I'm in and stuff and respects it. So, like,
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, he was telling me that he's like, you know, like, I couldn't not have this vaccine, which isn't true, right? But, like,
you
know, I can see where he's coming from. I guess this vaccine allows him to, like, visit old people in the home and just, like, do everything associated with the ministry. You'll have to look through it, mate. Mummy will help you, mate. Yeah, so, it's just like...
Yeah, I know, it's a tough one, that, because it's like, so I suppose he's seeing the greater good being the fact that he can visit people and make their day more valuable and more comfortable and better. So it's almost like, because a lot of priests would consider themselves as martyrs in a way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's like, it's a sacrifice totally. They make to,
I mean, like, if you look at the cardinal... They wear the red hat because the red hat symbolizes the martyrdom. You know, the real red hat is when you have your head cut off, you know. But, actually, now that, I'm glad you read that, because, like, last night I was speaking to a friend, he's about, almost 40, he's, like, a removalist, and, he was super upset about getting the vaccine, but, I guess, you know, he's in a position where it's, like, he has to pay rent and live and didn't really see any other way out of it. And so I was just talking to him about that. Yeah, it's
just really sad.
It is. It's totally sad. And what do you call it? He said that when he was getting the shot, he made like a big, you know, he was kind of laughing about it as well. He told the nurse like exactly how he feels about this. And she was like, I've lost count the amount of people who have said exactly what you've said.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was a little bit surprised, so, man. Like, I could see it coming, but, you know.
So what is it that's preventing, I'll use the example of men, because that's what I know more about. But, you know, what is it that is preventing men like this from pursuing this path, I suppose, similar to what most of us are taking, of resisting and, you know, like, you know, there is no discussion to be had with, you know, with most of us. So therefore, I do wonder what these guys truly do feel like, and what is it in them that they're lacking the ability to back themselves enough to have enough confidence in themselves to just pursue life as normal and allowing, you know, whatever great work there is to do to be done to make life good again. It's something I always do question. Like, what are some of these people lacking? What is it? It's
for sure. Yeah, because you look at my friend and it's like, he definitely could, like, you know, just get a job, a cash in hand job somewhere, you know, and circumnavigate that bullshit. But you didn't see a way around to that. But I mean, I've thought of the same thing, and it's like, I think it comes down to, whether like your, how certain you are in your morality and your, distinction between right and wrong. I find that like people who are going to make a hard stance against it, you know, whether it be the hippie or the Christian, they really like, they'll use like strong language, like evil and that kind of thing. When it comes down to your average, like, kind of Australian, I mean, most live in the world of, like, kind of subjectivity and what's really like stopping them from the inception to like make up their mind in their head that this is the right thing to do. And then, you know, in his case, much later on, which is like being prodded at the financial ease of access to funds end.
This leads into the whole accepting the privileges and benefits of the public system, which is to entrap you, where if you can operate from a self-employed position as private as possible, contracting privately as much as possible, you will you'll find that you are in complete control of your life.
Oh yeah, that was actually one of the things that I just really didn't like about this job. I was like, why did I not look at like my own business and stuff instead of like looking towards pivoting towards a big company? Just all the stuff that was like, I have to sit there and see this garbage, you know?
Yeah. Because it often requires a bit of capital and equipment and tools and things like that to be able to, you know, to get on your own two feet with, you know, any sort of laborious work. It's and then there's, you know, marketing, contacts, things like this that, yeah, it's quite daunting from the beginning of it, but you've got to start somewhere as well. So, you know, I've gone through a lot of that process, and yeah, I'm very happy with where it led me, but it's I couldn't recommend it enough.
Yeah, it's like you're the maker of your own destiny, like a lot more, you know. You're not beholden to in my friend's case, it's like a removal company, you know. I mean, what could be like, you know, less important than a removal company? It's like
there's a lot of useless occupations out there.
Oh, there is, like, not like really denigrating the people that
definitely not.
But like, it's like, what, it's like a removalist company has a position on your medical information, you know, like what?
Yeah.
Their business is picking up couches, like that's it. And
yeah, but this goes well beyond any of that, as we know. This is like a proper, everyone's on their own little high horse of morality, and I'm doing the right thing. And if I've had to do it, if I've had to sacrifice my soul for this fucking jab, then you have to too. You know, it's literally childish behavior like that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. One of the first calls I got in regards to my work was a person from HR, reminding me that there's going to be no compensation for the position I'm taking, right? So maybe that also speaks to your average individual who might look at this and did I just cut out there? Hold on.
I did, I think. No worries.
Okay. So that speaks volumes to me. It's like, number one, this person is like reminding me that there's no compensation for this. Why are you reminding me of that? Like, that just means that there is a possibility of that. And I can't remember if I've said it to you before, or it was when I was speaking to my friend last night. That might come in the version of 30 years later when people get an apology from the government or something. And I think it will be more for the people that did get the vaccination. But, like, so it's like, you know, I didn't tell her, but it's like, I'm playing the long game with this, you know. It's important to do that. It's like, I'm literally like the Viet Cong. It's like, I just have time on my hands. And
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hello, this is It's Me from Tenon.com, Sweden, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
We'll get on to the whole rights thing in a moment, but on that topic, we're just done with I've got two brothers, right, and I've said this probably a few times on the stream here and there, but one of them, at the beginning of all this nonsense, you know, was calling me and, you know, expressing how he knows this is bullshit, and, you know, he was seeing his physio guy, and he's saying, you know, he's a bit of a conspiracy theorist, yada yada, and, you know, he's telling me that, you know, there's no science in any of this, this is rubbish, and, you know, my brother was fully on board with that way of thinking. He was getting very angry at what's going on, and he's like, there's no way I'm wearing a mask if they bring that shit here, not a chance, fuck that. And then and my other brother was kind of quite quiet the whole time about it, didn't really say much, but then halfway through, the first brother spoke of, he completely flipped 180, I think due to his wife being completely bought into it, where he starts to make comments of, you know, if everyone just got this vaccine, we'd get out of this and all that sort of shit. There's a complete 180 there, but then my other brother, as time has progressed, he's become fully aware of all of this and completely awake to this whole system of things now. And it's amazing, absolutely amazing. And he is the one that's just lost his job, you know, he's a Chippy on building sites, and he's been told that, you know, he won't be able to come back if he doesn't. But he's chosen to stand his ground, and, you know, if he again, you know, my folks are worried that if he doesn't bring an income in, he could lose his home because he, you know, defaults on his mortgage and all this sort of thing. But he's up for the fight now. It's amazing watching it. Like, the spirit that's come out of him from knowing his right is just incredible. He's almost excited, and he's happy, and he's enjoying some time to himself to discover what this is all really about. And it's like, you know, this choice we have to opt into being one of God's warriors or just peeling over and taking it from the devil, you know. It's like
I hear what you're saying. Like, I think one of my brothers commented on those riots that were happening, and he was like these people just want to return to the Stone Age. And it's like, are you retarded, you know? Like, but you've never seen a riot before.
if you want to call it a riot as well.
Yeah, exactly. It was like a nothing, you know. Yeah. But I mean, that's a good story, man. I mean, like, it's blessed to hear people really like find their two feet when it comes to like something that is just wrong. I mean, even on like a base level, like if something's going to be introduced, like this whole COVID vaccine thing, why not let it speak for itself, you know? Like,
meaning, like, elaborate a little.
Well, like, you know, you introduce this vaccine, it's there for people to have.
Sure,
I mean, let people make their decision.
Yeah, I know.
Like, let the medicine speak on its own terms. I hesitate to say medicine, you know, I'm up in arms about what I should actually call it. Like, I've heard someone say the experimental serum, and it's like, yeah, I guess so.
I heard someone call it lethal injection today. I was like,
what was it?
Lethal injection.
A lethal injection. That's funny, man. That's like, it's not quite that, but at the same time, it's like kind of funny.
No, of course not. It's just a way of overemphasizing one's angle, I suppose.
That's funny.
Very serious.
Yeah. that's good, man. What do you call it? And yeah, it's like, just let it speak for itself. Maybe. I mean, I don't think it's really necessary at all, but maybe on that level. Yeah, why push it? Like, that's the thing that I don't get, is it's like, doesn't like whoever is in control of this thing understand that when you push something, you just get a harder pushback most of the time?
And, yeah.
You know? Like, that is a thing, right?
Yeah, 100%. But I would have thought that would be a little bit more evident with this, and it hasn't been as much as I would have thought.
I mean, this is the thing with, I was talking the other day about demons with someone online, that huge 16-hour chat Ab got us to jump on and just test the volume and stuff or whatever. And we were talking about demons and stuff. And, you know, I think, like, I see this thing and, like, the laws that are made for it. I honestly think that it is, you know, evil, perhaps like a demon that has inherited the state of Victoria. And it just wants to see people, wants to see people make the wrong decision, kind of thing. Like, it really wants to push people to say, you need to force this on people, and I'm going to sit back and laugh. You know, which is, I understand, like, that stuff isn't really, at the forefront for 90%, 98% of people, you know, like a freaking demon. But, like, I think, it's like, yeah, it wants to see people make that bad, bad decision, and like, it sits back, it laughs, and I mean, look at it, people are making bad decisions by saying, you take the vaccine or you lose money, you know, like, it's just like completely evil.
It just seems there's just that constant friction of like that light and dark force, the yin and the yang, the good and the bad, whatnot. It's almost like it's, which, you know, a lot of more Eastern based philosophy will suggest that that's at the core of existence, is that perfect yin yang balance of dark and light that even manifests reality itself is that friction. But one could argue that that's way out of balance at the moment.
Yeah, perhaps. I think the Eastern perspective would probably draw that, right? Like, so it's like, yeah, that kind of line of demarcation has, we're in a time or a phase where it's like blurred. definitely. Yeah. I mean, I don't subscribe to it, but I do like Eastern Thought. I think it's like sort of relevant.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's not about subscribing to any
totally
in general. Yeah. It's more just it's all useful.
It is
useful perspectives we can buy to what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like when I did look into that stuff, like I did find a lot of that kind of relevant in terms of so like you have this notion in Buddhism of like clinging on to something and not letting go, and like what do you call it, it's like I could like take that and put that into my life and my perspective, and it was just like, yeah, wow, that helped, you know, like why have I been such a stubborn asshole in that regard, you know.
Sure.
This has been pretty interesting so far, though, man. I mean, like, I don't see the logic behind pushing something on someone in reality, so like I have to come to that conclusion where it's like, yeah, I just think like evil kind of just wants evil for the sake of laughing at people who have free will, make a bad decision, like a really bad decision.
But would you consider evil having a conscience, if you can put it in those terms?
So like I was actually thinking about this last night. So in my perspective, there are supernatural entities which fall on the side of evil, and
when you say supernatural,
angels and demons, perhaps.
Sure.
The souls that have gone to heaven, the souls that have gone to hell. The thing is, right, is that when you have those angels and demons, and they don't have free will, so like they envy us here in this plane. So whether that means they have a consciousness, that's what I was kind of getting at. It's like, does free will mean you have a conscious, because like, you have that decision to make yes or no, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I would agree, because I would see that as, from another sort of spiritual perspective would be, if we're here for a test, in essence, so this realm is, if you want to speak in the terms of realms, this is a test, and you'd either ascend to a higher realm via this test, or your soul will remain here forever, but yet without conscious, but therefore feeding off those that are here, i.e. us. So it's that whole feeding off that sort of demonic energy feeding off our existence, rather than those that have lived a righteous life, that have therefore ascended. I suppose I view things in that perspective.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, I think, looking at it like a I guess from a game, or like a game kind of like sounds bad, a decision kind of like trial.
Yeah,
like it all seems to like fit within that, and that's where I think like people are definitely on equal footing. There's no real I think I was talking about last time, the NPC. It's like that isn't there. It's just like people making bad decisions or good decisions. And I think people
it seems that there's some part of them giving up some level of responsibility to govern themselves, though. So I think that's where that derives from. Mm-hmm. I think NPC is one of those loose terms thrown around.
Oh yeah, yeah.
To make people sound clever, but at the end of the day, what they're really trying to say is that some have given up the ability to self-govern, and therefore are just autonomous almost.
Yeah, like they've given themselves over. There's actually a what do you call it, from the Gospel of Romans, the book of Romans, where like Paul talks about that, and it's like some people are just given over, like God kind of gives them over to their poor behavior, and they're just like stuck in that rut, reprobate behavior. And I think that's maybe that's why it's so easy for people to see, especially in our like fakeologist truth scene. Like, it's easy for them to see that people are not quite right to some extent. How could you be like that kind of attitude? But it's like, they were once like you, perhaps, but they've been given over to. Don't know where I was going with that.
Nor do I, but it sounded good.
I I mean, like, yeah, it's good that, you know, I think people are becoming more and more, like, approaching this stuff and thinking about things in this kind of light, where it's like, as much as I, like, look down upon, like, when, as you said before, people say NPC to make themselves sound smart, and it is kind of true, but it's like, at least they're kind of, like, taking that opinion on things. It's not just, like, a super materialistic, scientific view on the world, which, like, seemed to be so dominating, like, 5-10 years ago, even.
And I suppose, again, another way of putting it is that lack of, you know, dialogue, I suppose. Mm. Maybe, you know, you can only assume and guess, because you can't be in anyone else's head. So, again, it's almost an arrogant position to even suggest that. But there is, you know, I've almost got too much inner dialogue going on. And I wonder, I'm sure there's a spectrum of where people fall along that, you know.
Yeah. I feel a little bit the same way. Like, it's... I kind of speak to myself quite a bit too much. There is a value to putting on the radio on some level, or just having like, some just music in the background. I mean, even though that can also like spark you thinking in your own head, you know, but.
Sure. I'd say that's why most people are hooked in front of TV series every night of their life, aren't they? Because it's, if they were not to do that, and we're all guilty of that in ways, again, different spectrums, but it's, I'd say some more than others, where it's a way to opt out of having to have a conversation with yourself about how did I conduct myself today? Was that decision I made correct? You know, should have I blah blah blah, you know, fill in the blanks. But there's definitely something to that. It's a big part of, you know, busy day, and then anything that will distract me away from thinking about that day.
Yeah, it is. Podcasts actually kind of have filled my void of I don't watch shows and just filling in the void with someone talking about something where I don't have to address things myself. Previous to this, when we were doing those calls, a couple of calls back, and I was driving an hour out to the other side of the city, every day, like, I would do 20 minutes of just thinking with nothing on in the car, no radio, and just driving and just like thinking in my head, a little bit of talking, you know, before I'd like distract myself by something else. So it's like, having that time to, do that. It's like immensely beneficial. I mean,
I try and use that time, of in bed falling asleep, where you can sometimes get frustrated that you're still thinking and not sleeping. But I'm trying to utilize that moment now of allowing that to be a time to process everything, if you know what I mean. Because again, if you try and fight those moments of I'm overthinking, why am I not sleeping? If you try and fight that, you make it worse. But if you allow it to just happen and be at peace with that's what's happening, then you find a way to work with it and then use it. And you know, it's that whole thing about just taking control of any situation.
Yeah, that's good. This morning I missed out on it, but yeah, I guess my time doing the rosary in the morning is maybe akin to that. You know, it is essentially a meditation. You know, if you know what to do, and it like comes at second nature, it's like your mind does wander, and it's like sorry, I'm just really distracted. My son's like running around naked. go on, mate.
My son's starting to do the whole...
I'm Del Qua.
I'm Ashika.
Dave James.
Cody from Memphis.
Silver Babe.
Chris from Hoaxbusters.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
You know, the first time I ever heard your voice actually was on one of Chris's when he came back after a while.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. Like, before you were even, I suppose, had anything to do with Fakeology. That was interesting.
Yeah. I was here. I just seldom did the audio chats or just big times in between doing that. But yeah, like I was when I got on the Hoaxbusters call, I was like very like adamant, like I've got to speak to Chris, you know, if he ever comes back. And when he did come back, it was like I was just like, you know, like kind of like starstruck, I guess you could say. It was like, hey, I'm on. You know, I think my son interrupted me when I was doing that. But yeah, hearing Chris just before, like, how hick did he sound just then? Like, I reckon that's awesome. It's like, ooh, Chris from Hoaxbusters, Carl. You know, that's awesome. Yeah, I think I was actually talking to Chris then about, climate change. Yeah.
Yes, I think, yeah, that rings a bell.
Yeah, just how ridiculous the whole parts per million CO2 idea of thinking is.
I know, who's counting that? For fuck's sake.
Yeah, exactly. But then on top of it, critical, like, if you're taking atmospheric CO2 levels, it's like you have to factor in what time of year is that? Right, because like in winter time, you're gonna get like a bonus CO2 level because there's not much photosynthesis going on. Whereas in summer, you're getting a lot of photosynthesis and you're going to see a real decrease in CO2 levels, right? So like when people say parts per million, the atmosphere is 400, 500, whatever it shall be. It's like when?
And where as well.
And where?
Like, are you doing it over a rainforest or over the middle of the ocean? You know,
exactly. So. Like in a rainforest, you're going to get, super low levels. I'm guessing anyway. I'm not, you know, there's a rainforest. You're gonna see a lot of photosynthesis, you know.
But
and then of course, like when you're inside a building, like those CO2 levels they can fluctuate like to like 5-10,000 parts per million. So like just to I don't know if I'm completely right about this, but like parts per million is kind of like 0.001%. So if I said one, it would be, you know, two zeros, three zeros actually.
Right.
And when you're inside a house and those parts per million are like 5 to 10,000 parts per million as opposed to 400, which they say is on the high level outside, my house doesn't get warmer because of, you know what I mean? Like what I was speaking to Chris about as well is it's like if a farmer who runs a greenhouse could just control heat levels with CO2. I'm sure they'd love to do that, but that's just not the case. You know, you can't just pump CO2 and you know, make the greenhouse. In a greenhouse, you know.
No, but don't a lot of greenhouse users say have a small flame burning? It's a carbon thing, which is again CO2, isn't it? But I have heard that some people in greenhouses they'll have a small flame burning to help that, but that could be bullshit.
No, I think that's a what do you call it? Like it's like an old way of promoting carbon kind of thing, like and you find, I'm sure you see it as well with, like, you know, stuff that you see that it's like old things kind of like just carry through sometimes, people just do them. But what you find now is like they just have lines around all the plants and they've just got like dry ice and like, yeah, it's just those lines are hooked into the dry ice and it just carries the CO2 around. And like, I can't remember, I think I was talking to him about a gerbera grower that I knew that I worked for, and his CO2 levels were sitting around like, you know, 1500, 1800, and it was essentially just to like juice the flowers and he had heaters running in the greenhouse and stuff as well, so I mean, like, yeah, the whole concept doesn't work in a greenhouse.
Because there's also that argument that CO2 levels follow heat rises rather than heat rises due to the increase of CO2.
Yeah. I mean, what's the thing that people always say as well when, you know, you present an argument like the global warmers have, where it's like correlation doesn't mean causation.
It does when they need it.
Yeah, exactly, you know, so it's like that's a perfect example of that, you know, like, I mean, yeah, they follow each other. Like the seasons follow each other, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, chicken or egg as well.
I mean, like, so yeah, I won't like chalk it up to like people don't understand the science, because like that is just such a overused thing from that side of the spectrum. But it's like when you dig into stuff like that, it's very clear that like people just aren't interested in that stuff, generally speaking. Like they want to hear the popular opinion and be happy with it at that.
And again, this is the whole idea of they've passed on their responsibility of observation.
Yeah.
It's they're no longer observing their reality, what do you call it, empirically. It's, they've become lazy and they've given that up, just like, you know, all their so-called rights and whatnot, which we should speak about.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't know if I have to go soon, unfortunately, but, I mean, originally,
yeah, sure, no worries.
Anyone listening, like we're going to talk about rights, because I think Critical and I had like a real pet peeve thing. We were just like, what is it with people saying it's my right? You know, like, it's my right to and then, have sex with whoever begging. I want. Mm, sorry.
No, that's right. Which, you know, was begging the question, which we got into was, you know, what is a right, essentially?
Yeah.
And why do people, assume we either have them or should claim them or require them or give them? It's, yeah, there's a lot of word magic in there as well.
There is. It definitely is. And it's like, I was thinking when you said word magic, I was like, you know, my right hand, like it's kind of, yeah, it's that English where it's like, it's several meanings of that word, you know?
Yeah, because it ties into the right-hand path or the left-hand path, the right hemisphere of the brain or the left hemisphere of the brain, the right and the wrong. So it's like, it's a very powerful word to use.
It is, yeah. I mean, it is. Like, look at the Apostles' Creed. It's like, you know, Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, you know? Like, it's just...
Right.
Yeah, like, I immediately think of that and all those, like, kind of heavy things that are, like, just, like, ingrained in us and stuff. So it's just, like, I feel like, it's just it's a real, like, nothing burger to some extent as well. Like, I think we'll talk definitely about this at large next time, but like just looking at, I've never looked at the Universal Declaration of Human Rights before. And it's very like cringe making. I mean, I was actually thinking it's like, well, next time like this right is, someone abridges my right that they're talking about here, I'll just get the UN on the phone and, hit them up maybe. You know what I mean? Like it's just, that's not going to happen. You know, like why are they even here? Like, are they just a guide to life? Like,
well, I don't know. Yeah, but again, it feeds everyone the illusion that you require rights to exist. But the whole time, they're giving their own ability to self-govern up to this idea of, no, we have rights, but it's who are you requesting those rights from or who are you claiming them from? And, you know, like I said to you earlier, do my rights end where your rights begin? And it's one of those whole, what do you call it, almost like a false premise. It starts off from a false premise.
Yeah. I had to laugh at that as well because it's like, I just, when you messaged me that, I just like thought of like, some like kind of union strike and like someone says that to you kind of thing, you know, like, yeah, it's just like, whoa, that was a heavy thing to say, but like, you said it, bud, you know, like kind of, sometimes I'm harder thinking and it's like, yeah, that makes sense. And it's like, they begin, where do they begin? They, where mine begin, you know what I mean? Like, had to like double take on it.
Sure.
But yeah, can you hear all the children in the background? I'm just thinking like
a little bit. Yeah, if you have to get off, we can.
I might get off, but I'm just thinking like it might not make for good audio. But
it makes it real. If you ask me.
It does. It does make it real, doesn't it? Like I always liked what do you call it? Like going into a church and it's like there's just kids crying and the guy like the priest or the pastor is like just talking over it. Like it's just nothing's happening. I was always like, that's awesome, you know, like, you know, rather than the shh or whatever, which I can understand.
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder whether we should be stopping and then asking those children making that noise what they actually think is going on. It's
instead of
shush.
Yeah, I know. Like there is a need for the shushing. Like I like I think there's a need for the old lady at church to like keep everyone in line. If you know what I mean. Like there is some worth in that. But like at the end of the day, kids are going to be kids. And I used to, when I bring my son to church, I used to like, just be quiet, mate, you know, and do the whole like, I'm embarrassing. But, you know, it's just like, yeah, it's kicked off. It's like, yeah. I actually went to, you'll laugh at this. So like, whenever church was on, as I've almost forgotten now, I went up to communion and like, he's like, he held out his hand. My son, like, where's mine?
Right. Of course, mate. You can't eat without me.
Yeah, I thought it was so funny. Like, it's actually one of the things that I don't really like about the way Catholics do Eucharist and stuff. Like, I think it should be something that's done from birth, but whatever about that.
I don't have much of an opinion on all that, to be honest. But...
But yeah, I guess, look, next time we'll really dig into this and I'll like do some proper research, not just like a, you know, quick write-up kind of thing, because it is interesting, like what you're saying before. It's getting deep.
Yeah, sure. But sometimes we have to go there to figure the rest out, I think.
Totally, yeah. All right, man. No, thanks for.
Anyways, yeah.
This. Yeah, and I'll speak soon.
No, it was, man. It was good. Thanks a lot. I'll speak soon.
Catch me.
Bye.
That's all, folks.